Hey coaches, Adam here. I want to encourage coaches, especially those engaging in fall seasons, to start developing your leaders today. Do not miss the opportunity that the summer provides to start shifting the mindset of our players and start engaging and exciting them into their leadership and character. There can be tremendous momentum established in the offseason as you get ready for the upcoming season. Take advantage of our coaches membership filled with different drills, activities, and exercises that can start being used today. So when the season starts, there's been momentum established, standards have been risen, and your athletes are performing at a higher level than ever before. Take advantage of the coaches membership. Don't take the summer off. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging out with us today. I'm Adam, alongside, as always, Kyle of the Lead 'Em Up team. And today we're excited to be joined by Tim Rumpf. Tim is one of the directors for NFL Films, but specifically was one of the three directors on the uberly popular, taking the entire country by storm documentary on Netflix called Quarterback. Tim was one of the three, and little special little story. Tim and I went to high school together. He's a little younger than I, so really, really cool to kind of be joined by Tim. But Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure, man. First of all, congratulations on the success of the Quarterback documentary. You all through NFL Films in partnership with Netflix, following three quarterbacks behind the scenes, giving unprecedented just insight into their life, personally, professionally. Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota. Listen, you've been doing Hard Knocks. You were part of the directing team for Hard Knocks. You've been doing tons of NFL Films, Football Lives, and things like that. Fair to say that this is the biggest, at least from an attention standpoint, project you've been involved in?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I mean, I think today was the first day we finally got knocked off from being number one on, you know, top shows in the U.S. of their list. But to go have like a 7-day run there, that was just absolutely wild. And just be on social media and see all the great positive feedback. Certainly people are watching. So it's great to put that much work into something and see people enjoy it as much as they are.
What does that do from an energy standpoint for you? I mean, the energizing element of just the feedback and everywhere you go, people are talking. Like, what does that do for you internally? Just the way it fills you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly gets you fired up for the next project. It's kind of, that's the mindset we had at NFL Films. We do so many different things for so many different partners that it is always, okay, what's next? So the fact that you see something that you put 6 months of hard work into that people really enjoy, it keeps you going. It gets you fired up and ready to go on to the next one.
Has it been overwhelming? Like, have you actually felt like this new pressure that, like, now that your work is really elevated? Once again, it's always been good, but like, once again, there's a level to this where now, like, man, we've got to produce. We, you know, we've set the bar so high. Now people know who I am. Is there any pressure that comes from success like this?
I don't think so, honestly. I mean, it kind of just proves to yourself and obviously all the other producers that are working on here at Films, what we're capable of, and hey, let's try something new and it works. So, all right, what else? Let's try something. Let's take another risk, you know, and it helps us keep pushing ourselves essentially. So yeah, certainly no pressure. I kind of like to set the bar high and then know that you can set it even higher the next time around.
Yeah, Tim, absolutely. One of the things that I was curious of from your perspective is when you're putting this together, what's one of the biggest things that you hope the viewers are going to gain from watching a show like Quarterback?
Yeah, so certainly a show like this, you know, you're going to get the football fans to come in, but you also want to kind of get the casual viewers too, the people that, you know, this is a obviously a worldwide show. So you want some people that don't even know what football is to watch. And even just here in America, people that are obviously familiar with these people, but your goal is to kind of tell the audience who these people are and show who they are, not just as a football players, but as human beings and well-rounded people. Because a lot of people may view these guys like a Patrick Mahomes as this gladiator that's just on the field on Sundays. So you know, what is he like at home as a father? What is he like as a husband? What is he like as a friend? So I think we were able to capture that through the 8 episodes and really kind of round these guys out, show what their true personality is, and not only just show how much hard work they put into this position, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're still putting their kids to bed and doing the things that are relatable that we all have to do.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. I'm curious how directing actually works in this. And here's where I'm going with this, Tim. So there were 3 directors on this series because there were 3 athletes, and you each were assigned a quarterback that you were in charge of to kind of tell the story. So in essence, it's almost like 3 documentaries in one. Fair?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. You were assigned Kirk Cousins, correct?
Yep.
Did you pick him or did you get assigned him?
A combination. So when we found out who the 3 quarterbacks would be once they signed up, the director, Matt Dissinger, had done a previous project with Patrick Mahomes. They had established relationships. That kind of made sense for them to kind of continue together. Because in this project, whether it's, you know, this or Hard Knocks or whatever else we use on, it's really about trust and building that relationship between yourself, the subject, just so they can get comfortable and start opening doors that they might not previously. So with Patrick Mahomes assigned there, you know, it's down to Cousins and Mario. And obviously us growing up outside the DC area, I had followed him for his 6 years in DC, familiar with him. I will admit I had a You Like That t-shirt at one point. So it felt like a natural fit. And I felt like we would vibe as well. Just, you know, when the cameras aren't filming, I think that's important as well, just to kind of establish a friendship, a working friendship between the two of us. And I think that made sense, and it certainly paid off. I mean, from day one, there was a comfort level that I probably haven't had with many other people that I've worked with.
So why would a quarterback agree to do this? You know, I was thinking about that, right? Kirk's been relatively private. You know, he's not in the headlines, you know, by intention. You know, he doesn't want that typically. You know, he's a very humble guy. Yep. But why would a quarterback say, you know what, I want to do this?
No, I mean, it's a great question. And so when we were actually recruiting the quarterbacks, what it came down to was, so we're in a partnership with Omaha Productions for this project, which is headed up by Peyton Manning. So that was his responsibility. 100% was recruiting the quarterbacks. Peyton was obviously just being the quarterback whisperer that he is. We knew that was our best bet to get guys to do it. And so I remember someone telling us that was part of the conversation between him and Patrick Mahomes. And when Peyton was trying to sell him the project, it was like, hey, you're going to be mic'd up for 17 weeks, you know, every single game, you're going to be mic'd up for practices. We'd like to be in your home. We, you know, like to be around you, your wife, and you guys are having a baby this year. You know, we'd like to capture that. You know, and Patrick really kind of thought about it. And he was like, look, honestly, this isn't something you would have done when you were playing. Why should I do this? And kind of Peyton took a step back and he was like, you know what? Honestly, you're right. It's not something I would have done. However, now I wish I would have, because now I have my sons and I can try to explain to them what it was like to play quarterback and what all the hard work that it took to play quarterback. But wouldn't it be better if I could actually show them, like let them kind of watch it on screen? Hey, on Mondays, I had to do this body work. On Tuesdays, I did XYZ. You know, Wednesdays, I did film study, you know. And so I think that hit home with Patrick, especially having his second child this year. And Kirk kind of said the same thing to me. You know, he said, obviously, he's got 2 boys himself, 5 and 2 years old, and he's 34 years old. He says he wants to keep playing as long as he can so his sons can remember him playing quarterback, not just pictures or, you know. So I think that was important to him, too, to be able to, you know, hey, if he only does last a couple more years, he'll at least have this series to show them just what it took for him to play the position.
I did not think that, right? That was not why I thought, you know, I thought it was maybe just to, you know, curb narratives, you know, and just kind of shape personal persona and things like that. But, and maybe that is part of it, you know, maybe there is some value of like, hey, people can really understand what you go through. Because I will tell you, when you build a documentary, as you alluded to earlier, like you really are trying to get, you know, people to see insight that they never would have gotten. And especially outside of the football audience. So like my wife, you know, we're watching it together and like, and I've now heard this and you can actually look at my comment thread where I tagged you in on Facebook. You can see all these like wives chiming in where they were like, what I found to be incredible was the empathy that was generated through this documentary from people watching it. Man, people that just didn't really pay much mind, now they're like feeling. They're like, oh, I feel bad. Wow. And like the empathy changes it. And I think that's one of the most powerful things a documentary can produce is change the empathetic levels within us to all of a sudden get people to look at these guys as like, man, these are real humans, not just the gladiator. Man, they're really putting in work. And now everything changes once you start viewing it through that lens.
100%. That's been the most fascinating thing for me and rewarding thing, honestly, is like I've got my mom, you know, texting me or calling, like, hey, my friend on the golf course just said, hey, have you seen this Netflix docuseries? And, you know, doesn't your son work for the NFL or something? It's like, yeah, you know, he had a small part in that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, to that point. So all of us as viewers watching this season, we watch Kirk Cousins and the Vikings beat the Colts in the greatest comeback in NFL history. And that's kind of, we just watch it through that tunnel vision of what we see on Fox. But then what the series was able to show was, you know, the most important thing for him right after that game was he saw one of his teammates had their son in the locker room and that clicked something with him. And he ran in and got his son. And, you know, instead of a way that people might think he'd be celebrating or what the locker room might be like after a game like that, he's bringing his son and getting him chicken fingers and strawberries and kind of just sitting with him. I mean, it was just such a cool, unique moment that no one would have any idea actually exists.
Mm, agree.
Yeah. As my, I'm watching this with my son, we had this conversation last night as we're going through it in the empathy and just the realness of seeing someone like Kirk Cousins and how he handles himself, how he carries himself. And we were both looking at each other like, he might be one of our favorite players in the NFL right now after going through and watching this. And with that story about his son, I'm curious, just are there any other memorable off the field moments for you that you think really highlight or showcase Kirk's leadership and just how he carries himself every single day?
Yeah, man, that's such a good question. So I think through the year, the thing that I was blown away most by Kirk was probably just everything he put into it that I had no idea that he did. I mean, most of it was just kind of for himself, though, and making himself a better player, which certainly, I mean, goes out into his leadership roles. I mean, as far as he gets everything in line for himself, and obviously then he's able to lead from there. But, you know, I had no idea they met with a team psychologist every single Wednesday. That's something nobody knows until I started talking to him. Like the first time that we got together was, you know, I just asked him a simple question. I was like, hey, lay out your schedule for me. What does it look like day to day each week during a season? And he laid out these things. And then what I was blown away was that he was basically allowing us to film everything. Like, I thought there was certain things that, you know, it might be off the table, but I think it was very important for him to be an open book. And maybe that's honestly part of it is to show people his leadership style and, hey, I do this brain training because it helps me when I'm on the field calm myself. You know, when I have the quarterback, you know, I have my head coach yelling at me or if I'm trying to command a huddle, I do this brain training thing so I can kind of stay even keel. And it was just little things like that that I just didn't know.
Yeah, that was fascinating. That really was.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Knowing and leading yourself is the first step in every leader's journey. When developing future leaders within my team, we start with knowing yourself and then transition to leading yourself. Once you know and lead yourself, you can move into knowing and leading others. Too often, people will try to bypass these critical steps before leading other people. Start with having a clear understanding of who you are and how you operate. This will ensure a strong foundation for future leadership growth. No one wants to be led by someone that doesn't first know and understand themselves. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
So, what I've always admired most with Kirk is his character, right? And we talk about this a lot in Lead 'Em Up. There's two realms of character, and it's really important that we recognize the two realms. On one realm, it's the moral character, right? Respect, integrity, right? you know, you think about yes, sir, no, sir, pushing your chair in at the end, picking up trash. That's moral character, right? Just great character guy, good grades. And, you know, but there's also a performative character. And this is, and we can't ignore it. It's still character, right? Because your character traits are who you are. And what I've always been impressed with Kirk Cousins is he's such a high character, not only morally, but also performative, or you could say mental, right? Discipline, hard work, drive, determination, and commitment, right? Consistency. These are all character traits. It's how you would describe someone. Oh, he's a hardworking, driven, disciplined. And for me, it's what kind of was revealed so highly in this documentary where you began to see the character. And I remember being in Minnesota for the Final Four one year, college basketball Final Four. And he was speaking at a church that weekend. And we went to listen to him speak. And the pastor asked him about, yeah, you know, there's a lot of players, you know, that get in trouble with the law and all that, you know, that happens. But for the most part, you always hear stories like, especially if you're closer to the game, like there's a lot of high character guys in the NFL, right? And they asked Kurt, they were like, does that surprise you? Right? And he literally goes, absolutely not. Because you better have your character at the highest of level if you want to make it at this level. Yeah. You better be driven, determined, consistent, hardworking, all these character traits. And I think that's one of the things I've loved and I'm so happy when I saw Kirk was on is because I've have followed him. I have paid attention to him. And I was like, yes, they're going to put that on display and everyone's going to see it. And I hope it starts shifting people's mindsets to understand what does it really take to actually get to this level. And to your point, it even went further in your mind, you know, that you even knew, right, with the mind work and the body work at night and the sports psychologist. Let me ask you this, Tim. I am fascinated, as I'm sure a lot of people are, how does it actually work? And what I mean by that is, how does it actually work for you to follow a family for all this time? Like, I mean, you're like, I'm not to give away, you know, obviously everyone knows how to see them, but you're in the backseat of the car on the ride home. Like, you know, you're like creeping around the door when he's giving a bath to his boys in the last one. You're like kind of in the room, but not in the room when he's reading the book to his son. You know what I mean? It's like, how does it actually work? Are you just like, hey guys, I'm going to be here. I'm just that guy, that fly on the wall, and they just live. And you're just like trying to like not intrude and like, oh, they're changing. Let me back up. I don't want to go that far.
Yeah.
How does it actually work?
It's a constant dance. I mean, honestly, because you want to be there and capture everything, but you want to be respectful and not invade their privacy essentially and keep them comfortable. But I mean, it really goes back to day one. Like I said, having that conversation with him, which I thought was going to be a quick, like 2 minute answer. It ended up being like 20 minutes straight where he just talked, because he could have every minute of his day was accounted for. Like you said, the discipline. He was like, hey, Monday's my schedule. The Tuesday thing where he said, hey, I take the complete day off. I don't do anything football related, which I found fascinating, but that's his routine. He's found that works for him. So of course, continue to do that. But, you know, we were probably with him on average, I mean, certainly we were there every week. We were filming a practice wire every single week, but we were probably in his home every other week. You know, I would look at certain things that were on his calendar that made sense for us to definitely cover. And then we had a crew basically on standby in Minneapolis, where if he texted me, hey, I've got this Thanksgiving event in an hour, do you guys want to film it? You know, we could go and get there. I mean, I wouldn't be able to obviously make it out for that. I was probably out there every other week, but we had a crew with them essentially every single week. But I think in those moments that you talk about where they're, you know, delicate moments, whether it's in the car afterwards or in his house, I think that's honestly just a style of filmmaking. It's more voyeuristic because, you know, if you're on top of him in the cameras, it almost feels fake, as if you're far more removed. I think it more looks authentic, but also I think they're more comfortable then too. If you can imagine someone filming you from a hallway versus like right in your face, you're definitely more comfortable. And honestly, going back to the point after the playoff game of us getting in the backseat with him and going home.
Were you in the car with him?
Yeah. And so, and I will give this 100% credit to Kirk I mean, certainly it helps the relationship I was able to build with him throughout the season. But really, it goes back to Kirk's character and who he is as a human being. Was before the game, we had made arrangements, you know, win or lose, however this game goes, it's important for this story for us to kind of go back with you afterwards and see the emotions, whether that's high or low, depending on how this game goes. He's like, yeah, of course, you know, you can come back with us after the game.
And this is you as the director.
This is you
mapping out the, and i.e. the directing, the direction of the show.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'm texting with him the week leading up to the game. You know, kind of just our plans. And, you know, that week specifically, I was like, hey, you know, you're going to meet with your psychologist on Wednesday. Is it okay if we're there? And he's like, yeah, of course. You're going to have your body work on Friday. You know, can we capture that? And, you know, he's like, you know, whatever you need, we're good. But I knew the game, you know, could be a touchy subject because being on Hard Knocks or other projects, you never know how someone is going to react after a game just because you kind of are in a different headspace when you're actually on the field. But going into the game, you know, he agreed we can come back after words to his house no matter what. So obviously that game goes how it does. He plays great, but obviously the last play, you know, some people give him heat for on the fourth down. So, and I knew it would be a very emotional time for him. Obviously just being in the locker room and we're filming at a distance, you know, I can tell, you know, he's having a tough time. So again, I want to be respectful, but after he does his press conference, I kind of catch him in the hallway and, you know, and he's like, hey, Tim, do you need anything else? And, you know, I was like, or, you know, is it okay if we go back with you guys like we talked about? Like right there, and it's happened before. A lot of other athletes might be like, you know, I just need some space, you know, maybe tomorrow or a different day. But I think Kirk understood how special this project was. I think he understood how a lot of people would benefit from seeing how he handles loss. And he understood how important it was for us to capture that moment. So he let us come in and ride with him. And it was fascinating. Again, and going to his character, the first thing, like how it plays out in the show is exactly how it played out. We get in the car, you know, it's me, the camera operator and the audio engineer. And we're sitting there quiet. You know, this is the first time I've ever been with a quarterback after just lost a huge playoff game. I don't want to say anything. I want to kind of just let the scene play out. And within the first 5 minutes, instead of just going home, he stops and signs autographs for fans. And I was just blown away. I mean, no other quarterback would do that in that moment. They would want to get the heck out of there. But mm-hmm. he thought that was important to thank those fans for standing out there in the cold. So credits mm-hmm. to him.
Yeah, I'm just curious, from your personal perspective, Tim, what were some of the lessons you took away from it? You had all this access, and that was a great story you just shared. Were there any other valuable lessons that you take away from this experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. It was just interesting to be able to watch an NFL game, be on the sideline, and hear the quarterback for 17 straight weeks. I think you do learn a lot about that individual and kind of how he operates, how he leads. One little side note about Kirk, just going back to his character and stuff, like something I mean, it makes sense now when you think about who Kirk is, but I never realized was like before games, he would see random fans or, you know, PR would pull him to people. And even when he's doing his pregame preparation, he would spend those 5 minutes with each fan and like just ask them random questions and really just be engaged and make them feel like they're the most important person in the room, which I asked him about afterwards. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, whenever I'm meeting fans, I realize this is kind of their big moment and this is going to be something that they're going to remember. So I want to give them that time and make it memorable for them. I never want to just blow off anybody. So going back to like DC, he's got this huge homecoming game where obviously he's got all the pressure and nerves in the world. And there was this family friend that was there that he had never met, you know, a kid of a family friend. And he was asking about his tennis season and that stuff rather than worrying about going against the Commanders defense. So that was a really cool thing to see. But as far as what I learned from Kirk, I think it's just the different shifts in leadership that it takes to be a successful quarterback. You know, I'm sure some guys have just kind of one style of leadership and that's what they do. But for Kirk, I kind of could see him flip a switch at certain times. Like, you know, when he's leading a huddle, he was more authoritative where it's like, hey, you're the one voice. You've got 30 seconds. You got to keep moving. Like nobody else can talk. And he really was commanding the huddle. And then at other times, you know, he's just on the bench and he's going over the wide receivers and the O-line and trying to get their feedback and stuff. So that was really cool for me to see where it's like, hey, you've got to be flexible in certain situations.
Yeah, that's good.
You talk about his personal feeling there, like the DC one, right? Where one of the lines, the chain crew linesmen
that's the one that popped in my head.
Yeah, staff member, you know, just stadium staff or whatever, you know, hey, Kurt, I beat cancer. Hey, praise God. You know, like,
yeah,
that interaction, like, a person doesn't go to the quarterback of a team and share that type of information unless he knows the person he's talking to has a heart that's willing to hear it. Okay. Right. So I thought that was fascinating. By the way, I would have got through the series so much quicker if it wasn't for Mahomes' language. Just saying, I couldn't watch it around my 7-8-year-old. I'm like, ah, geez. But anyways, but that shows the realness, right?
Exactly.
And it kind of leads me to this question. How do you balance, how does any director balance in a documentary type project, you know, letting the material play out as it should versus you trying to steer it, you know, paint your own version of the story, sure. Right? I mean, because there is that tendency, like you could have just been like, all right, I'm gonna paint Kurt in this picture. This will be my goal, or I'm gonna be biased to it. I'm only gonna show the good. What's that dance look like?
Yeah. I mean, the only approach that we really could take was just kind of let it play out and just be who they are. Like, we knew that people had preconceived notions of who Kirk was or who Patrick is or Patrick's family or Marcus, just because obviously they're all NFL vets. They've all been around. So people know who they are. You know, they think they know who their personalities are. So we thought the best approach is, hey, like, let them just be who they are and people can like them, they cannot like them, and go from there. But yeah, I mean, the only really like steering that we kind of do is, you know, how can you tell a proper story? And it was more just about structure. It was like, hey, we would love to have an episode tell about, you know, the mental aspect of playing the quarterback. Hey, let's have an episode with the physical aspect. But, you know, pulling, you know, giving you guys a peek behind the curtain, we've got a showrunner back here at NFL Films who's got this huge cork board. And before the year, we had all these index cards on the board. Like, hey, this is what we think show two could be. Maybe show three is this, show four is this, where, you know, Kirk goes back to DC. And you can have all those plans and they can look great. But then all of a sudden you've got the unpredictable, like all of a sudden the Vikings and the Bills play the best game of the entire season, or we get the NFL's greatest comeback ever, or you have one of your subjects get benched, or one of your subjects go all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's what's kind of great with these types of projects. Like, you can plan for things, but it goes back to Steve Sable's great line about Hard Knocks at the time. He was like, it's like basically trying to build an airplane in mid-flight. Like, you just kind of have to go with the flow and figure it out.
Yeah, that's a good illustration. Tim, you know, it's fascinating. I was talking to a neighbor the other day. This just kind of just shows the excitement of the series that I mentioned that it was continuing on, and all of a sudden it got into a conversation in the neighborhood about, man, all the quarterbacks they want to see on it in the future. Right. And that's just kind of painting to the vision, you know, they're just like, man, they got to get Russell Wilson would be very entertaining. You know, Trevor Lawrence would be cool to see. Lamar Jackson. I mean, you've got a pretty large pipeline of quarterbacks for the years to come that all have different story. Tua, you know, I mean, you go down the list, Burrow, Josh, I mean, you got material for years, Tim.
100%. And I mean, you know, I think all kinds of names would be throwing around here at NFL Films, but I think the formula that we used this year really worked. And I hope we kind of stick to that going towards the next season, as far as having a guy, you know, three guys that are at different tiers and different stages of their careers, just because it's very different stories. If you've got a guy that's trying to get back to the Super Bowl, a guy that's just, you know, had a lot of success and hasn't gotten over the playoff hump, and then a guy that, you know, is trying to prove that he's an NFL starter. Like, I love just seeing their different approaches. You know, some people can take, maybe that's why they are at different places of their career, or, you know, however they want to take it. But it just played out great over 8 episodes, I think, because very different paths and how their season unfolds.
Well, Kyle, there could be hope for us. Kyle's in Tampa. Okay. Yeah. Who I actually, I, I actually don't even know who the quarterback is in Tampa right now. Who is your quarterback right now, Kyle?
It's either going to be Kyle Trask trying to make it or Mayfield trying to prove he can start.
Well,
those two guys.
The first quarterback, look, I could see him being that Mariota. I could see Sam Howell here in D.C., right? Right, being that starter. Who? You never know, right? Never know how it'll play out. Tim, appreciate you so much, man. First of all, congratulations on all the success. And, you know, the reality is you're super talented. You wouldn't be where you are taking on the projects you're doing if you just didn't have a skill set and a talent that is really just one of a kind, high, high level. So congratulations to you on that. Listen, I'm going to keep hyping. I tell everyone as soon as they say, oh, you know, that was produced by or directed by Watkins Mograd, because my wife thinks we still like are too big on our high school, like, because I'm still friends with everybody from high school. She's like, y'all are ridiculous. Listen, we're proud of it.
Yeah,
you're the same way. Yeah.
Keep piping up Watkins Mel.
Always, man. So that's so cool. But Tim, appreciate you and best of luck, and excited to just continue following the journey of this series on Netflix.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate it. Till next time, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. Thank you so much, coaches, for tuning in to this episode of Lead 'Em Up. As always, let us know what you think on today's show. You can tweet us at Lead 'Em Up, Instagram. You know where to find us. Till next time, we are out.